This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Did you see our album art last week? We kicked a bunch of people over the cliff, and I wonder where did they
over
all
there,
land?
In the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
That guy in the media corner always knows the answer. He's like a magic eight ball with the same answer on every side.
Yeah, one size fits all.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. This is the network show for March 21st, 2011. And this is the companion podcast to our regular show where we take a look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. if this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, you might want to go back one show and have a listen so you know what we're talking about. This is call-ins, email, tweets, all kinds of stuff from our listeners. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I feel springy.
Springy? Well, you did that last week.
Well,
you were springy last week.
Well, spring sprung. I feel better now, man. The weather's finally starting to turn a corner.
Are you gonna like break into a song or something?
Zippity doo dah, zippity.
Oh, what a beautiful morning! Yikes! We don't want to take Technorama in that direction ever again.
I was thinking more like Mr. Rogers, you know.
It's a beautiful day. We did an intro like that once upon a time, didn't we?
Yeah, I did. Should go play it.
I'd rather play our voicemail that we got. We got several voicemail from Mark in Memphis. His first one is about alien invasions. We talked about 10 reasons why alien invasions fail, and the chat room threw in about 8 more. Well, Mark has a couple of his own.
Hi, this is Mark from Memphis.
Who's Mark from Memphis?
Howdy, this is Mark from Memphis.
I knew a Mark from New Jersey once.
Howdy, this is Mark in Memphis.
Oh, Mark from Memphis.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. You're talking about why alien invasions wouldn't work or fail or whatever it was. You're talking about they didn't want us anymore. I kind of envision I think it was a Twilight Zone episode where it was How to Serve Man, and the guy figures out it's a cookbook where they're taking everybody back to their planet kind of a thing.
Yummy.
Well, I envision them coming in, and, you know, they've done that someplace else. They come in, they invade, and they taste their first human and go, oh, God, that's awful.
I'm going vegetarian.
We can't do this. We're out of here. Bye.
Hey. That's much the same reaction I figured somebody had when they first tried snails.
Yeah. I better cook this.
Yeah.
A lot of butter and garlic. Anything will go down, won't it?
Yeah. Yeah, human. Better with butter and garlic. Hey, you know, I always ask this question, but, you know, at one point they thought that tomatoes were poisonous. Well, who was the first guy that figured out it wasn't?
Probably some little kid.
Yeah.
You ate what, Johnny? For you. Well.
Oh, my. Get him in the hospital.
And Johnny's little brother, Billy, goes, dibs on his room. Aw, crap.
Aw, crap.
He's still around. Well, he's got another one here on alien invasions as well.
Hey, guys. It's Mark in Memphis. The alien invasion thing, there's another one that didn't really get into. They make a mistake about the quote-unquote dominant species. They try to communicate with, say, sheep, nowhere, and leave because they think there's no high intelligence on the planet. Or they come in to talk to the whales, and once they finish their conversation, they're done. They don't even know that humans exist. Bye.
Sure wish I could speak whale.
Oh, no, here goes a Dory reference.
Thank you.
Hey, the aliens can't be all that dumb. They know where the meat is. They keep turning the cows inside out.
Right. Yeah.
This cow's not interesting. Oh, here we go.
We have a story in our regular show coming up on Wednesday for you about
cow lovers.
It's a DIY UFO detector, so you'll know ahead of time.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
I've been looking for that.
We were also talking about the hash sign, pound sign, number sign, Octothorpe, right?
Yeah, so like annually we do this.
Sharp. Well, Mark had some comments about Octothorpe.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. When I hear Octothorpe, and I remembered it too, I kind of get back and forth between conjuring up the thought of a superhero or a supervillain. Kind of leans a little more towards the superhero. There's no need to fear. Octothorpe is here. Not sure what his superpower is. But you figure it's got to do something with eight.
It's kind of a cross between Doc Ock, isn't it?
Yeah, Octothorpe and his sidekick Star.
Oh, he's the superhero of Twitter. He's just got a big hashtag on his chest.
On his chest.
There's a Dragon Con outfit for you that no one would duplicate.
The Octothorpe.
What are you? And he goes around drinking Miller Sharps.
Look, it's the number sign guy. I'm not number sign guy. I'm Octothorpe.
I'll pound you. Bail us out, chat room. The power of winning tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
That's funny. I can't win against this guy. If he was tic-tac-toe, would that mean his sidekick is a cat? Ooh.
You know what? My next cat, I'm going to name Octothorpe.
What are you going to call him for short?
Octo.
Thorpe. Hash. Here, hashtag.
Yeah.
Just get him a neck tag. He's got his rabies. He's got his name tag that just has a hash, so he'd have a hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag.
Oh, boot config says Octopussy's already taken.
Oh.
All right. One more regarding dial codes. I mentioned last week that you can put
in. Wait a minute. You should probably clarify. Boot config is actually a guy in the chat room.
Yes. The chat room this week has gone with DOS commands.
The passing reference just boot commands or boot config says.
Oh, that sounds like a good chat reference.
Yeah.
We were talking about dial codes and how you could put commas in for if you're doing a conference bridge or something that makes you dial the phone number, then wait a few seconds and dial an access code.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Mark has comments about that too.
No. Hey guys, it's Mark in Memphis. Chuck?
Yes?
I really think the dialing code thing was actually in my manual on my phone.
What is this manual of which you speak? Manual.
You mean like instructions?
Manuel, he's the president of Mexico, I think.
Manuel.
So some code you could put in like P and W for pause and wait.
Sounds like those little dial strings.
Stop for a certain amount of time, like a half second like you were talking, and W, the wait, would just stop until you touch something on the screen, and then it would do the rest of your little string of whatever you had in there. Or maybe that was a phone back before my smartphone. I don't remember.
A phone
anyway,
back.
Anyway, this is Mark in Memphis. Bye.
The number you have reached has been changed to a non-published number.
We're going to have to follow up on that. Dial code strings that you can put in. That almost sounds like those old modem login scripts that you did. Dial this,
yeah.
Then wait for that. Then dial this and send that. That's how you actually logged into systems in the old days. Of course, your logins and passwords were in clear text, but hey, security wasn't a big issue back then.
Yeah, as long as somebody wasn't, you know, tapping your phone.
That's still
there was no HTTPS on the phone line.
Well, and when you weren't connected, you weren't connected, so security really wasn't a big problem.
True. Yeah, I know a guy, he kept unplugging his modem from the wall. Not worried about thunderstorms and stuff. He was worried about somebody getting in on his computer. He was worried about somebody hacking in on his computer. I'm like, are you dialed in anything? No.
No.
When he goes to bed, he would unplug it from the phone line to make sure nobody could call in and hack his computer.
Okay.
I couldn't convince him otherwise, but
gee. if you had an auto answer disabled, then it doesn't matter.
You know, War Games is fictional. Technically.
Yeah, because, you know, Ally Sheedy would never hang out with a nerd like that.
Yeah, right.
I should know.
Yeah. You should know. Okay.
All right, we didn't have a whole lot of email. We had those four calls from Mark in Memphis. Thank you very much, Mark. That was very, very magnanimous.
Yeah, that too.
Of you. And we had a whole bunch of stuff in the regular show, so I cut and pasted one of the things out that we wanted to discuss in that show. But since there were so many things in the regular show that we're pulling one back into our network show, maybe we can get some input from the listeners on this as well.
Yes.
Craig and I had a discussion this past week about checks. You know, the paper things you write to transfer money from one person to the other. Well, Craig kind of hinted that.
Not the things you mark off your to-do list.
Right. Sounds like Check Man ought to hang out with Octothorpe Man.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out how to spell it. Is it C-H-E-C-K-S or
C-H-E-Q-U-E? Yeah, that kind of thing. So Craig bought my iPad. And I said, well, just send me a check because we don't want to give 17% or whatever it is to PayPal. And he said, I don't have any checks. I said, what? You don't use checks. And then you started asking me, what am I using them for?
Yeah.
Well, I had a couple of instances just this past week to write checks. Mm-hmm. One is when I go to the massage place, they don't have a credit card reader handy, and I don't carry around big wads of cash. So I write out a check and give it to him. It's easy mm-hmm. enough. The other was a man came by to install a radon kit. So because we did a radon test, and apparently some of the basements around here have, you know, radon gas leakage because there's something about this environment and things are decaying in the soil and mm-hmm. it leaks in through people's basements. So they sent us. Wait a
minute. So you're sitting on top of an oil.
Yeah, probably a big uranium deposit, but whatever.
Yeah.
And installed it. And, you know, the guy comes over to do maintenance, whether it's a refrigerator repairman or whatever. Rather than having him send me an invoice and then Donna's got to enter it and just all this crap and spend another 44 cents on postage, I just wrote him out a check for the flat amount and the deal was closed, paid in full. So and it's handy to have without carrying around $700 in cash to pay the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't write many checks, maybe two or three a month tops, but yeah. It's a lot of places just aren't set up for a credit card for situations like that. I mean, the poor maintenance guy or radon installer in this case isn't carrying around a credit card reader. Although that may change in the future. I understand, you know, hopefully sooner or later, the U.S. will catch up to the other countries with smart cards.
Well, you know, okay. First off, let me catch everybody up. We get two accounts. You know, I got a joint account for me and Kim, and then I have like a personal account that.
You mean that kind of joint account?
No, like a Spike Lee joint. No, I'm kidding. But no, I got. I've had my own personal account for whenever I have play money, you know, or I did a little side work or something like that. It goes in there.
Right.
Yeah, so it's totally separate. And really, they gave me the counter checks when I had the account, and I never used them. I never had a chance to or needed to because I've always got the debit card around. Anytime I go anywhere and buy stuff, little things, I never need, I just don't carry much cash either. It's because those have become so ubiquitous, they're everywhere. So that would be what ubiquitous means. But anyway, so I just never had a chance to, and that's when, or need to, that's when you said that. I was like, well, I don't have checks, so I have to go stop by the bank, which is literally downstairs from work, and just get a money order. But I'm curious what everybody else's uses are for checks, if you still use checks. My wife uses them for some things that they charge a convenience fee to pay by the phone.
I hate stuff like that.
That's just, hey, you're actually saving money because you're not interacting
I know.
With somebody.
And same kind of crap with, like theaters, not necessarily movie theaters, but like performing arts theaters.
Yeah.
Where you go to see plays, Les Miserables, Cats, whatever, and if you order online, they charge you a few bucks. It's like, what? You didn't have to send it to me. You didn't have to print it. You're making it easier on us, and you're charging. Come on, that's not a win for you or me.
No,
I hate that
that's
stuff.
Ridiculous.
I hate
you
that
know,
stuff.
And I've purchased movie tickets online before, and yeah, they charge a few dollars. I'm like, why a few dollars? Maybe a small percentage or a tiny percentage, but yeah, I think it's a little overpriced, and they call it a convenience fee, which is a lot of crap. Convenient for who? That's what I'm at.
So we're curious.
Anyway, I'm curious.
If the listeners are using checks and what they're using for. Granted, the usage has gone down. A lot of stuff is electronic bill pay, so we don't make a check out to the cable company anymore. Cases like that. And our income is all direct deposited, so we don't get checks too much anymore.
Yeah, I don't get checks from work.
Donna had one this week where Julie's going to France. Lady asks, hey, you're going to the bank. Could you pick up some euros for my daughter, too? So we bought $200 in euros, 100 for Julie, 100 for Alex, the other girl. And Sherry, Alex's mom, wrote us a check. How else is she going to pay us 100 bucks back? Oh, yes, I'll take your credit card.
Well, I don't know if you've seen them, but the little square devices, have you seen those?
Square devices.
I think if you go to, not square.com, but if you go to Square. Anyway, what happens is you set up an account there. It's kind of like, in a sense, it's kind of like PayPal, but they give you a device that plugs into your headphone jack on your phone. Works for Android or iPhone. And so if we were standing beside each other, say at Dragon Con, and you paid for dinner, yeah, I could swipe my card on your phone using that little device, and you can take a payment from me.
Oh, yeah, I heard about those.
Yeah, and they're all over the place. So technically, a lot of people could take, payments off of a debit card or whatnot.
But somebody's going to get a cut. Otherwise, that service wouldn't stay in business.
And I think it's reasonable, but it's a small percentage.
It better be less than PayPal.
But, that'd be great if you had a booth or...
heck yeah.
Something like that. You just, swipe your card because they got to fill out and sign it on your
screen.
Credit
card reader into the dock connector on the iPhone or something. Be done with it. Now, if you are a, what do they call those? The credit card lifters? There's a name for them. I can't remember. Like when you give your credit card.
Skimmer?
Skimmer, yes. It makes it easier for the skimmers. The waiter at the restaurant. Yes, monsieur, I'll take your bill. And he walks back behind the counter. You don't know where that guy's gone with your credit card. Boy, how did we how did we turn into a security podcast all of a sudden?
Well, that's what I told people a long time ago. When I had my ISP and people were starting to buy stuff online, they're like, is it safe? I'm like, well, you're sitting in a restaurant and you give your credit card to some, Joe that takes around the corner.
Right.
Well, I think buying online is actually just as safe because especially if you go to a reputable place,
and you ensure that
Amazon.
It's encrypted.
Or somebody that's a big company. Sure, I think it's probably more safe. But if you were just buying something like, not necessarily eBay, but somebody individually or a small shop online, it's probably as secure as you're handing it to some dude around the corner. I don't know.
I would like to know which sites are PCI certified. There's got to be some way to tell that. PCI is like a regulatory compliance thing. In order to be certified to handle electronic fund transfers, you have to be PCI certified if you're taking credit card numbers, so that the two pieces of data, the credit card number and the, what's that code on the back, the CVI, something like that, mm-hmm. are not stored in the same place, so you can never put them together. They're not in the same tables, they're not in the same databases, that kind of thing. And when you do your fund transfer, it's all compliant with PCI. I can't even remember what it stands for. I just remember the acronym. But you go to some websites and they ask you for that information and you don't know. You know, they may not be. And you're that's when your cards and funds and things are at jeopardy. So it's not just good enough to be safe in knowing that it's SSL encrypted. Again, how did we turn into a security podcast?
I don't know. Oh, by the way, it's squareup.com. That's what I was talking about.
You know, I might want one of those. I don't know why, but
it could come in handy. Well, they'll give you the reader for free. You just set up an account and away you go.
I'd like to know what they charge.
I'm sure it's on their site somewhere. But yeah, you get a they get a small cut. Oh, pricing. Well, you get a small cut, but
yeah, because, you know, if we set up a booth and sell books at Dragon Con or something, it's like, swipe, here's your book, swipe, here's your book.
Boot Config is now calling us Technorama.
Hey, I like that.
Quick, register that.
That one's probably already taken. You're going to have to look. That just sounds phony enough. To like,
it's our Eastern European counterparts.
Oh, bad. I am Yuri, and he is Craig.
Craigoff.
All right, that takes care of the network show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love, including making comments on whether we're full of crap on this Technorama stuff.
I'm from the steppe area.
Oh, the Russian steppes. Yes, of course. Spelled the same way, too.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, we got to get out of here. Call us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, like Mark in Memphis did, 206-222-2428. You can also leave us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Wow, that almost came out as Technorama again.
We
really got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Visit the website, chuckchat.com, for a whole bunch of good stuff. If you're not getting there during the week or reading the RSS feed, you're missing out on a whole bunch of stuff. Thanks to the following people for donating their time and talent to keep Technorama going during the week. Mad Marv, he posts to the blog on a regular basis. Ustream, who keeps our video streams going. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, we'd love to see you there. You can also join us in the live chat room provided by thinstack.net. They graciously provide us server bandwidth and stuff to help keep the live chat stream going, as you heard people like... mentioned earlier in the name, not check disk. What was boot check or whatever it was. Anyway, till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
In Technorama, the listener line calls you 101.
You people are as loud as you are ignorant. Now get back on your turnip trucks and go home.